I want to share with you two very different stories of my entering this new year and trying to do it Jewishly. I really believe in the preciousness of marking a new year and of celebrating Rosh Hashanah and of feeling the opportunity of the future. I mean, I wanted to have a little kiddush first because I think there's a reason we use kiddush when there's a baby naming and at a wedding and here at the new year. I think it's this idea that it's amazing that out of this universe, out of something is the material universe, something intoxicating comes. That there's always opportunity for new beginnings and new joys. And my story has not been written completely yet. And with a little tshuva, there's a path for me forward. Now, part of what we do when we're trying to examine that path and figure out the way, and we have 10 days now in which to do it, we had a month of Elul added on for extra work, is to try to figure out who's going to be there on your path with you and who is not. I want to share a story of one person who's not probably going to be on my path, and one person who probably, I hope, will be on my path. Because basically what I'm saying is, this is a time to review who you want to carry with you into the future and who you don't. If you don't take a time like Rosh Hashanah, a time for a new year, once a year, to ask yourself that basic question, all of the people I'm carrying, even if they're not here, even if they're old college roommates, even if they're the people from work or people I used to work with or from my old job or people from my old playgroup or whatever it is, all those people, let's put it this way, all the people you're still friends with on Facebook, right? Can you imagine carrying all of them into the new year with you? You have to decide, I think. I think it's worth, not you have to decide, you don't have to, you can skip the whole process and it'll be a terrible mistake. I try to think each year, who do I want to be closer with and who do I want to let go? And I think a lot of Americans think, you know what you mean, let go of anybody, that's mean, that's not compassionate. I disagree. New beginnings, new opportunities, new intoxications means that sometimes I am slowed down by trying to carry everyone because I think I'm supposed to be a nice guy. Okay. Story number one. In this sanctuary, how long ago? 9 years? Lynn and I were married. And one of the people that was here to celebrate with me was a close friend that I spent a lot of time with. Now, in my life, I'm kind of an introvert, and there are not a lot of people I've spent that much time with. Even my best friends at college, I probably didn't spend all that much time with. And this was someone I went to professional school with. And so for 8-9 hours a day, 4 days a week, we studied together, part of a very small chevra, a small group of only about, I think, 5 people in my rabbinical school class who started and made it to the end together. Because at least at the California one, it's hard to make it to the end. So we were there 8 hours a day. We spent a year in Israel together. We had times that to me were, I thought, times of great sharing. And like I said, at the very beginning of all that, he was here in the sanctuary at my wedding. And someone I really greatly admire. Someone I think is a real mensch, a good person in this world. And he got married a couple of weeks ago. And he didn't invite me to the wedding. Now, I think this is karma on me because I do a lot of premarital counseling and I get questions like, do I have to invite everyone to the wedding or do I not have to invite everyone to the wedding? And I give a little speech where I say, who do you want to be carrying into that hoopah into the future? Right? How many Facebook friends can you carry? You know? So I said, you're allowed to kind of say, well, you know, I can't have 300 people, and you're allowed to make decisions about on this path together, going into the future, do you really need everyone there? So I got excluded. So God had it, right? God probably heard my counseling and said, one of these days, you're not going to get invited, Rabbi. We're going to see how you feel. And I felt terrible. So I work very, very, very hard to cultivate what the Kabbalah calls the whole goal of Jewish ethics or Jewish spirituality, which is equanimity. try to cultivate a sense in which when good things or bad things happen to me, they just kind of go into the water and they slowly ripple out so that I can relate to them without too much emotion. I can seize them to appreciate them if they're good without my heart racing being a good thing. And when they're bad, I can take them in. I can listen to the criticism, whatever the negativity is, I can say this too shall pass. And I try not to let things get to me, but this got to me. So I really felt terribly excluded. Part of why I felt excluded was because this person has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of friends on Facebook. And I don't really do Facebook, but I once put up a profile, thinking I would use it because I thought that it would be important or that I should, and I just never did. And they had my phone number in there because they told me for security purposes they needed my phone. So it never really buzzed or rang. For about 3 days, my phone just kept beeping and buzzing. And it's like, hey, I'm over by the sushi bar. I'm going to get you a mojito. You know, and I'd never experienced people living out like 2 or 3 days of a party on Facebook. Like, I think that's the weirdest thing to do, to like Facebook, you know. I mean, I should Facebook Harvey and Marion right now and be like, Harvey and Marion, how's the sermon going? You know, I'm just going to, I'm having a great time. So I'd never experienced this, every single detail. Now, everyone from my class was invited but me, right? And so, yeah, exactly. Thank you. I definitely didn't have equanimity. I was hurt. And it really just kept going on. Oh, I'm flying in with my wife, and we're at the Obon Pen in the airport. Oh, I thought you meant the Starbucks. And then it kept going with the wedding itself, and the whole thing was like, they're living out their experience. And then there's the reception, and then there's the next day, and the photos of it. So, and I finally deleted my profile. But I didn't do it right away. Because first I said, I'm just being emotional, I should keep my profile. But after I thought about it for another 2 weeks, I deleted my profile and decided I was done with it. I'm not criticizing Facebook, I'm just criticizing that use of it. I know Facebook's very useful to many people to stay in touch. This is not an anti-Facebook sermon. But I would say that we have to be careful about bragging on Facebook about things when other people may not be living that same life, right? And, you know, they may not be having the children and the successes, and they got into the colleges they wanted. And we have to be careful with how we live out what people that we're broadcasting to might think. Okay, so I thought, I got to go Jewish on this. So Jewish is, number one, do I want a relationship with this person at all? And it's okay if I don't. But if I do, then I have to tell them I'm hurt, and I have to tell them how I felt. I have to take responsibility for it myself, because every relationship has at least two actors in it, right? So I wrote an email, and I said, got to tell you, you know, because there were hundreds of people at the wedding. I said, I got to tell you, I would not have missed your wedding for the world. Just want you to know that. I love you. I would have wanted to be there. And I told him that... it was probably something I did, which is I haven't been in touch enough, right? I just haven't been there in his life in the last 2 or 3 years. I've been remote. I've been distanced. I said, or maybe I even got an invitation, or I did something wrong. I didn't send you a card congratulating you on your engagement or whatever it was. There's probably something I may well have done something because, it, you know, the distance, you know, it takes two to have distance. And I said, so I really want to be able to own up to that. Or maybe, you know, you just have priorities. There are only so many people you can invite to a wedding. You've got a lot of people. And, I would understand that. But I was hurt. I was really disappointed because I felt we were very close. And I would have been there. So I got an email back that said, Dear Nadav, what a wonderful thing to hear from you. It really made my morning. Maybe you and I can have lunch sometime after the holidays. No, they live in Los Angeles. So, I mean, it's not exactly like I'm going to grab a sandwich, you know, down at a Subway. So, okay. My hurt was not acknowledged. That violates Jewish law. So the first thing is when someone comes to you with something, you acknowledge that they've been hurt. You know, you acknowledge their hurt. So that was not acknowledged. Number two, I offered to apologize for my share in this, and I got no acknowledgement of that. You know, so number three, it's a brush off. You know, so I wrote back and I said, I consider your email to be, what did I say, superficial, phony. I said something like that. So it sounded pretty phony to me. I take it that we're done. And I said, but I want you to know something. I really wish you well in your life because I loved you, I mean, as a friend. And I really want you to prosper and be happy. And if our paths cross again, I'm going to give you a big hug. Right? So then I thought, do I really mean any of that? And the answer is, I came to believe it in two ways. Number one, I tried to identify why I was so hurt. And I tried to identify, what is it that I wanted? And I think that what I was craving was some affirmation that I was important to him. You know, either that you were a mentor-like figure because I was much older, or that you were a support to me, or that I learned from you, that I was important to him. And so then step two was this. I could make my peace with it because I realized that whether in the present moment he sends me that message or not doesn't change a thing about the past. So every time that we do Adon Olam and we sing that God is in the present, the past, and the future all at once, and if you know Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is an amalgamation of the word it was, it is, and it will be. The idea is that God, in God's essence, is the very dimension of time itself, and that from God's perspective, the past, the present, and the future are all happening at the same time. So that's basic Kabbalah 101. And I figured, I don't need him now. Do I really need him now to affirm something that I know is true in the past? And so this is, to wrap that up, I decided that I can go into this new year without him as a friend, but I will be the bearer, the carrier of the memory of our friendship that's true. I'm not going to let this experience mess up a memory that I know is true, which is that we were close. So when I wanted to hear now that, yes, you were important to me back then, maybe you still are, and I got nothing, I don't think it changes the fact that I know that we were close. So what I'm asking you to do is, if there's someone you're ready to let go from your new year, a past friend, again, college roommate, business partner, neighbor, whatever it was, someone from the street on which you used to live, someone from a Havarad, another synagogue from years ago, and you're just kind of like, I'm tired of the Facebook stuff, or I'm tired of this, or I'm tired of that. Even if you let them go, or even if you want to be friends and you realize they've let you go, be the bearer of the memories in the past of how great a friend they were. It doesn't change a thing about the past that you're not going into the New Year's together as friends. The past can be beautiful, right? Always at one time during High Holy Days, I talk about my ex-girlfriends. It's a requirement. I'll just say this, which is once when Lynn said to me, because we met later in life, and she said, so can I ask you about, your past girlfriends? And I said, you better know if you want to, because I've only good things to say about them. And she said, really? And I said, well, not entirely, but for the most part, even when I don't have good things to say about them, I give their memory a kiss every time they come to mind. It wasn't meant to be, it wasn't perfect, there was hurt, but it doesn't matter. Like, I love all of them in the past. I don't love any of them in the present. And I said, is that good enough for you? And she said, sure. So that's my teaching for that, which is let the past be beautiful, but it doesn't mean you have to carry all the past with you into the new year. And the other one I am bringing into the new year. So I have a friend, and it's been somewhat estranged. I'll make this a little shorter. Who has asked me to apologize, because this is the time of making apologies, for things of which I am not guilty. I don't know how it infects people's memories to get things wrong. People can say things like, you weren't there for me at that thing, and I want to say, I was literally there for you at that thing. I need that, like, debate moderator for the presidential election who's going to be like, no, you didn't say that. No, you were against that before you were for it, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm like, God, where are you? Like, I need the moderator. They accuse me of things. I wasn't there when that happened. I never said that, right? I didn't do that. So what do? You're trying to figure out who you're bringing into the new year with you. And, you know, you bring this person. They can't even face the truth. We as Jews, do we ever turn off our brains? Am I allowed to reconcile with someone without, like, getting the facts straight? And this is what I figured out with this person. I thought of a book that my wife hates. It's called The Giving Tree. My goal is to teach you to hate that book. Okay. But for tonight, we'll like that book. The reason The Giving Tree, my wife doesn't like it, is it feels like it's just telling all parents. Like, I mean, you're pretending your kid likes this story, but really all it's saying is, you don't appreciate how much I sacrifice. You know, really, isn't that what it's saying? I cut off all my limbs and trunks for you, and you just want more, right? It's kind of like making us feel better about parenthood. But sometimes that's called for. So, being asked to apologize for something I was not guilty, this is what I asked this person. I decided that the nature of the relationship I had with this person was an extended family. And I have not been close with this person for a while. I decided I didn't want to go forward in my life without them. So that was my decision. Now, if I don't want to go forward in my life without them, then I asked them to do this. I said, make a list. I want you to make a list of all the times I've let you down. Right? The sins we're apologizing for these 10 days, where I've let you other people down, where I've let God down, where I've let myself down. So I said, I need to know it all. Right? But I need to, your homework is, it can't be part one. It has to be the whole thing. Go to your therapist, I don't know, you know, take a weekend off. Whatever you need to do, get lots of paper and write it all down. Every single thing that I have fallen short regarding you. And then we're going to meet, and I want to hear it all. And when I hear it, I'm going to turn off my brain. Right? Jews don't often do that, but I'm going to do it. Sometimes we ask God on the day of judgment to turn off the brain about too many of our shortcomings. Just go with the heart a little, God. Right? We're all special. And so I'm going to turn off my brain, and I'm going to listen to that list, and I'm going to find anything in it that's true, and I'm going to feel terrible about it. So I'm going to do it with an open heart, a closed mind, maybe. I'm going to open my heart, I'm going to hear it, and anything true, I'm going to feel bad about, so I can feel the required remorse of healing relationships. And number two, I'm going to feel the remorse that I've let this person get distant in the first place. I'm not going to blame it all on them. So we're going to go through that. And I'm not going to interrupt. I want to hear the whole list. I'm going to feel bad. And I'm going to not interrupt. And I'm going to seize on any partial truth or even just the distance to feel true remorse. And I'm not going to hold back my love. Right? We're asking God to do this. Can we try to do it? I'm not going to hold back my chesed, my forgiving love. And when they're done, I'm going to say, you're probably right. I'm sorry if you feel bad, right? That's not an apology, that's fake, right? But you're probably right. And I haven't done the best I could. I could have done better. I could have done better vis-a-vis you. And I'm truly, truly sorry. If that's enough, then we're going forward into the new year together. And we're going to have a new beginning. Because I've decided I want this person in my life, and I'm going to give it that shot. And if it's not enough, if they come back next week with another list, Or if they come back with, you know what, I want to hear you make a list of all the wrong things you did to me. And I'm like, I'm not going through all that. You know, I heard the whole list already. And then they say, well, I want to hear you say you're sorry again. I'll say it again. I'll be like, say it with me. You're probably right.
Probably right.
I didn't do the best I could.
I didn't do the best I could.
I could have done better.
I'm sorry.
I'll say it again. That's all I have to give. That's the act of love. So I wish you well in your decisions. You can't go into the new year with everybody. The ones you really want, find the place in your heart to love and to repair in that way. You don't have to be a shmata, but you can bring up your chesed and give a person some peace. And for those for whom it's not going to happen, you don't want it to happen, give a kiss to the memories and be the bearer of the memories that you were close. In that time of your lives, when those paths were together, you were happy and you loved.